We invite you to take your Bibles and let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings 17. This is the last thing we want to deal with in our study of 2 Kings, and I know it's in the 17th chapter, but it's the area that we skipped over because we're actually dealing with the northern kingdom going into captivity, and we dealt with, when we went over and saw how the southern kingdom found themselves going in that same direction, went into the captivity. But in the process, we missed several verses here that I want to deal with tonight as we talk about unacceptable worship. Unacceptable worship. There are many in this world who would have us to believe that our God is no better than any other person's God, who happens to be different from our God. There are those who would say, if you worship the God of the Bible, that's fine, but don't think that your worship is any more sacred than someone who worships the God of the Koran or some other god or gods. You know, that's their business, and your business is your business, and you ought not to say anything against their God. And of course, in the minds of this politically correct world that we live in, our attempts to evangelize those who worship a different God or who don't approach the God of the Bible in the same way that he is presented in Scripture, as he should be presented, they look at us as being religious bigots. That's what they look at us as being. And that is because these folks see all gods and religions as being on an even and equally acceptable plane. You know, it's an even plane. You know, everybody's in the same group, but we're not. We're not. Remember years ago, the Southern Baptist Convention had to endure some flack over their effort to evangelize Jewish people. They took a lot of grief over that. They were encouraging folks in the Southern Baptist Convention to evangelize Jews, and just they really came down on them hard, those who had a problem with that. Also, after the 9/11 took place, if you remember, there were those who said that Christians should try to understand the Muslim faith, not try to convert them. Well, if we don't try to convert them, they're going to wind up in hell. It's the problem with that, you know. So let's ask the question, is all worship acceptable to the one true God of the universe? Well, we know the answer to that question is no. Isn't it important just to be sincere in one's worship? Again, the answer to that question is no. And that's not all that's required. In our text, we find that the 10 northern tribes of Israel had been conquered by Assyria. They've been carried away by and large. Most of the people have been carried out. You know, there were some that hid out in the hills. You know, whenever you have a war going on and people being carried away, some people attempt to have the ability to hide, and they were the only ones that were left in the land at this particular time. And after the conquest, most of the people, though, had been carried away to Assyria or one of its other provinces. That was one of the tactics that they would use to hold down dissent. They would take people from different areas that they had conquered and put them all together in a place like what we're going to see tonight, put them all together in Samaria. And they were of such different backgrounds that it was hard for them to come together to form a coalition to go against Assyria. Does that make sense to you? That's what was going on here. And what they did is in the place of the Israel that had been displaced, Assyria imported captives from other conquered provinces to live in Samaria, which was where the northern 10 tribes of Israel had been displaced at that particular time. Now, let's read 2 Kings 17, and let's begin reading verse number 24. It says, "And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cuthna and from Ava and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim and placed them in the cities of Samaria. So he would bring them from other provinces there, placing them in Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there, notice this strange statement that we're going to see as we read through here, when at the beginning there, they feared not the Lord. That makes sense. They didn't know the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he hath sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry thither one of the priests whom ye brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let them teach them the manner of the God of the land. Now let's just pause right there. Can you see a major problem here? Here's the problem. Those priests and the people that were displaced out of the land, their big problem why they're not in the land anymore is because they didn't worship the Lord the way they should. You got a priest coming in trying to teach them how to worship the Lord of the land. He couldn't even teach his own people how to do that. And notice in verse 28, then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel. Now, let's pause there. Bethel was where Jeroboam erected one of his golden calves. Remember that? He erected one in Bethel and one in Dan. Remember? So, this is where the guy previously ministered to calf worship. Not to the Lord. Not true worship to the Lord. And taught them how they should fear the Lord. I bet that really went good. Verse 29. Howbeit every nation made gods of their own and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. In other words, they did basically about like the northern kingdom did itself. Rather than serve the Lord, they served their idols. notice verse 30. And the men of Babylon made Sukkoth-Benoth, and that word there means tents or booths of the daughters. It's where impure rites were celebrated. There was immorality going on. Okay? They were prostitutes is what they were. And the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashima, and the Avites made Dibhaz and Tartak, and the Sepharvites burnt their children in the fire to Adrammelech and to Anamelech, and the gods of Sepharvaim. Now, what we have here, when I studied to look and see what kind of gods these were, you had a cock, a chicken, okay? You had a he-goat the hair had been taken off of it. You had basically a bald he-goat. You had a dog, you had an ass, you had a mule, and you had a hare. some people said that the mule and the hare were actually peacock and a pheasant. It really didn't matter. What we have is an assortment of animals that were being worshipped by the different ones. All these people came together, and they all had their different idea about who God was. Okay, and they brought their gods, and here they are. They are worshiping their gods, but they're trying to mix that with the worshiping the Lord. Why do they want to bring in the worship of the Lord? Well, we don't want to be eaten by lions, right? That's the kind of fear that they had, and we're going to talk about the kind of fear that they had and the kind of fear that's not acceptable. And so verse 32 says, so they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places. In other words, these were non-Levite priests. Remember, in the worship of the Lord, the priests had to be Levites. These are non-Levitical priests. And so, you know, they made the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. Notice verse 33, they feared the Lord and served their own gods. That's improper fear of the Lord. We'll see that in a minute. But when they served their own gods, that's the key right there. After the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Then it says, unto this day, and that phrase is talking about when this book would have been written, which was after the Babylonian exile had taken place. The stuff that we've seen just in previous weeks, whenever they were carried away into exile, then this book was finished. And so up to that point, so unto this day, the Lord, that they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes or after their ordinances or after the law and commandment which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, ye shall not serve other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them, but the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall ye fear, and him shall ye worship, and to him shall ye do sacrifice. And the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, ye shall observe to do forevermore, and ye shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, ye shall not forget, neither shall ye fear other gods. And what were they doing? They were fearing other gods. They were saying they were fearing the Lord, but they were fearing the Lord in one way, and they were serving their gods. Okay. Verse 39, but the Lord your God ye shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. Howbeit they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. So these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. And again, that unto this day, when this was penned, when this book was penned, which is the end of the Babylonian captivity of the southern kingdom. So all of this is going on while what we saw previously with the southern kingdom was going on. Here we see the religion of those who were imported into Samaria described at length. It's a mishmash of gods that the people brought in from these other provinces that was combined with the worship of the northern kingdom of Israel that had been displaced in order to placate the Lord God of Israel. That's it, really, what they were doing. They were trying to placate God. Okay, we don't want the lions attacking, so we're going to have some semblance of we're serving God, serving the Lord. But they weren't really serving the Lord. The problem is that such worship is unacceptable worship to the Lord. And I want us to look at this matter of unacceptable worship. And I've got 3 points, but we're only going to hit one tonight. All I got time for and what we have left here tonight. So we'll take a look at the other two, Lord willing, next Wednesday. And so we see, here's the first point. Unacceptable worship is based on the wrong kind of fear. That's key. Unacceptable worship is based on the wrong kind of fear. And I pointed out as we were reading through the various statements that are made here in the Scriptures, verse number 32, so they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. And then verse 33, they feared the Lord and served their own gods. And we would say, what? You feared the Lord and you served your own gods? Verse 41, so these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images. Now, what in the world is going on here? Well, they had a fear of the Lord, but it was the wrong kind of fear. And in fact, it really wasn't the fear that the Lord was looking for. That's why verse 34 says what it says here. Unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord. The bottom line is, they may have thought they were fearing the Lord, but the real problem is they weren't fearing the Lord. And it's not a contradiction here. The contradiction is in their lives, but not with the Scripture. They had a fear of the Lord, but it was all the wrong kind of fear. Now, understand there's an improper kind of fear of the Lord. Would the Samaritans have ever thought about the Lord had it not been for the lions? No. No way. You know? Verse 25 and 26 tells us this whole thing started out. Their interest in the Lord God of Israel there was because of what was happening to them. When they finally did think of the Lord, it was only to tremble before Him. I mean, it's like, man, we got to get rid of these lions. And what do we do to get rid of these lions? And this is like so many people that I see today. You ever know someone who only thinks of God when they or someone they love is sick or injured or on a deathbed, but they conveniently forget about Him when they're well and everything's going fine? Improper worship. You know, if you're only going to worship the Lord for what you can get out of Him, that's a problem. That's improper worship. When the good times are rolling, you know, you can't find some of these folks in church because they're out serving their other gods. And make no mistake, people have other gods. They do. Out serving their other gods. But when the world comes crashing down around them, then they begin to think about the Lord. Many times after things get turned around for them, though, you can't find them again. They pray fervently to God for deliverance while a storm rages in their lives, and they make all kinds of vows and promises to God. But as soon as the storm is over, they forget all about all those vows that they made and the promises they made. And they forget all about what brought the storm on in their lives in the first place. Listen, if we turn to God only when things go wrong, our religion is no different than the Samaritans in our text. That's the kind of God you serve. That's not the kind of God. That's not the way God wants you to be, I can tell you. That's not what He wants. How He wants to be viewed by you. So there's an improper kind of fear of the Lord, and there is a proper kind of fear of the Lord. Solomon taught about fear of the Lord in a couple of different places. In Proverbs 1, verse 7, he said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Ecclesiastes 8, verse 12 and 13, he said these words, "Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before Him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God." We know that Jesus taught about the fear of the Lord. Matthew 10, verse 28, Jesus said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Peter taught about the fear of the Lord in Acts 10, verse 34 and 35. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Now, if these people had really wanted to serve the Lord, fear the Lord, turn from their idols and serve God, God would have been okay with that. That's not what they were about, though. They were just adding one God to the rest of their gods for the purpose of getting rid of the lions. That's the bottom line of what it was. What is this proper fear of the Lord? Well, is it the kind of fear that never thinks of God when things are going well and then trembles at the prospect of facing God? No, that's not what we're talking about. It is the kind of awesome reverence towards God. Did they reverence God? Did they show any reverence toward God? They didn't, did they? No. They didn't learn enough about God to put forth any reverence toward him. But proper fear of the Lord is the kind of awesome reverence toward God that motivates us to turn away from evil and serve God faithfully at all times. Now, with the proper kind of fear, with that awesome reverence, we will draw close to God through obedience. And when we do so, we will find him to be so gracious and loving that we will serve him out of love and not just out of fear of judgment. Let's look at one passage of scripture in 1 John chapter number 4, and we'll be done, okay? 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 16. We'll be done for the night anyway. 1 John 4, verse number 16, "We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." The Lord wants us to fear. He wants us to love him and serve him out of love and not just fear of judgment. And when we love him, we don't have to have that where we're trembling, wondering what's going to happen next, do we? Don't have to do that. So we're going to come back, Lord willing, next week, and we're going to take a look at unacceptable worship is based more on form than substance. I mean, they had a form of worship of the Lord, but they didn't have the substance right. And then we'll also take a look at an additional thing regarding unacceptable worship, and that is unacceptable worship is based on futile efforts. It's based on vanity. And, of course, that's another word that God called idols. He's talking about those were vanity. Something that's vain means it doesn't profit anything. And those gods that they had could not profit them at all. And we'll see this unacceptable worship. But all right, that's our Bible study for this evening. Let's go ahead and pull out our prayer list, and we'll pray for the needs, and we'll be dismissed with this prayer.